interesting ending, isn't it? The fear is the one thing, the one emotion that comes across these people who see this miraculous event. Pray with me. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So as I said, the ending here is fear and terror, not what we expect on Easter morning, right? We've been celebrating this entire morning, this joyous occasion. And so when we look and see that the first story that we write down about this, the first time we see in narrative form what happens on Easter Sunday, maybe the earliest tradition of what happened, the reaction was fear and terror. And what are we to read into this? Over the years, people have read a lot of different things, one of them being that women can't be trusted to preach. This seems unsound to me, for after all, they had to have told someone eventually, right? Because we know the story. So no, I think we must go deeper to see why it is the first reaction we have is silence and fear. So I will say to you all, how many of you told someone about the risen Christ this week? So silence and fear suddenly becomes much more familiar to us, right? Yes? No? You can laugh. It's okay. It's a day of joy. Sometimes this thing that happens is so big that we don't know what to say about it. Words sometimes seem inadequate, so we come together and sing songs and play bells and go on Easter egg hunts, right? But it's important to recognize that first time these were not just words rolling away the tomb and finding no one there. These were not just words, Christ is risen. These were not some preacher in black robes standing up and telling you what this angel said, for an angel it was, according to all tradition, to these women. On that first day, these people who thought they were doing the last act of service for their teacher, giving him a proper burial, anointing him who had been savaged by the Romans, these people who did what it is that we do to care for one another, went there and found something new entirely. No body to anoint. No person to bury. What happened? Did someone take him away, as they asked in another gospel story? What happened? What has been done with him? And to have an angel tell them, your friend who was dead, who you all personally saw die, is now gone and raised and will see you again. It's an astonishing burden to put on someone, to ask them to have words in that moment, words in that spot to tell everyone else. It is too much to ask for them. Which is why I think the reason Mark left it there, did not write extra words, did not write extra verses about the preaching these women did, was to give us a chance to put ourselves into the story. When I was talking about this earlier in the week with Beth, she said, oh, it's like a choose-your-own-adventure story. How many of you are familiar with choose-your-own-adventure stories? A few of you? Okay, the children of the 80s made themselves known. These were the staple of my childhood growing up, these books where you had a main plot, but then there were choices you could make. And if you made one choice, you went to page 89. And if you went to another choice, made another choice, you went to page 103. And if you made another choice, you died, and that wasn't good. And so you had your own choose your own adventure story. You made your own plot as you went along. And some of you who were like me might have just gone through each time to see what happens with each of the different stories, wondering what the ending is going to be. Here, Mark has taken away the burden from us and also the gift and easy out of knowing how to react to the risen Christ. We don't know what it means for us. All we know is that this angel told these women, "Your master will see you again in Galilee." That's all we know. We don't know what words they used to tell the other disciples, as they undoubtedly did. We don't know what they were feeling in their hearts beyond the terror and dread. All we know is that in that moment they had silence and left the reactions for us to write in our own lives. That's why it's so important that this is thought to be the earliest of the gospel stories, at the beginning of this gospel writing down process. This first person who wrote it down thought it was important for us all to have a role to write in this gospel story, showing us that this is not the end of the story. This is the beginning of a new story for us, a story that leads to reconciliation, because it is so easy for us to look at death as the end of the story. It is so easy for us to look at the fears we have in our own lives. And surely seeing one of your friends executed by Rome leads to a lot of fears as the end of the story. But in this rolling away of the stone at the tomb, in the empty tomb itself, in the resurrected Christ, we see opportunities for new beginnings. We can leave aside our fears. We have a journey that goes on beyond our fears, that goes on beyond especially the fear of death. And we have this to write ourselves. We know it because the gospel keeps on going after these people were silent. We get the chance to write it ourselves. And so on this Easter Sunday, what is it that we are going to do with this resurrection in our lives? We are sometimes afraid of talking about it to other people, and that's a little bit okay. It's something we should work on. We are called, after all, to proclaim this gospel. But many of you, and I would say, the old song is right, they will know we are Christians by our love. And so as we write the story that is yet unfinished with our own lives, the question is, where is our love of other people? Where is our love of God and our hope in resurrection played out in our day-to-day lives? Are we trapped thinking we cannot do what we would like to do? We cannot be the people we would like to be. We have too many burdens and obstacles in our life. Are we trapped by jobs we don't like or jobs we wish we had? Are we trapped by the ideals of parenting and the ideals of care we see around us? Are we trapped by fear that we will never catch up with our wealthier friends? Are we? I don't know. But I do know that the story is yet to be written. That we have the choice to look at our fears and say, these fears are rational, but I have more hope for the future and I will act as if I do not have them. We have the choice of saying, it is okay, I am a loved child of God and I live this resurrection by showing my love to one another even when I am afraid. We have the chance to say, rather than fearing my death every day, I will know that death surely comes and live anyway. And this is the story that we strive to write as we finish off this gospel work, as we look from the beginning of time and God's creation to an end of hope and reconciliation. This is what we find in the empty tomb. This is what we find in the silences of the first witnesses. The chance to react on our own, the chance to feel their fear and terror and to overcome it and live into the kingdom of God. Amen.